This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Top of the hour, 7:02, Sports Radio 929 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike Johnson, Allie Mack, Squidbilly, Bo Morgan, Mr. Dylon himself on the ones and twos. Playing a little rock this morning, getting the vibes going. Love it. Appreciate it. Hope you guys are enjoying the ride in. I love some of the Twitter back and forth, man. The card game talk is alive on the socials. I've been getting a lot of good back and forth with some of you guys, man, bringing up games like Rook. You also got a shout-out from somebody on here, Dylon. I'm trying to find it. Love, I think, was it Hand and Mouth you called it? Hand and Foot?
Hand and Foot.
Hand and Foot.
So it's real.
Yeah, so like a couple people were like, dude, it's absolutely
game.
Real.
It's a great game.
Some, you know, our buddy Eric Rogers also making light of who I was hanging out with playing spades and Tonk. Definitely more of a wide receiver kind of game than an offensive line game. But nonetheless, man, I love the vibes. So it's been fun. A lot of cool socials coming through.
Yeah, and we had Michael Jett write in on Twitter. He was saying, because yesterday we were talking about rookies navigating Atlanta traffic. So he wrote in, I think rookies navigating Metro Atlanta should be a continuing education class, yes, with multiple parts such as how to drive in Atlanta traffic, merging onto interstates, ITP versus OTP, and Atlanta sports history, how we're always getting our hearts broken.
I'm not going to take up too much time here, but I got to tell y'all, this sort of exists. It's called, I can't remember if it's called Falcons University or Rookie University, one of the two. But you like, rookies do take a class every week. It's not, like, necessarily about, like, Atlanta traffic, obviously. But you learn about, like, how to be an adult. And it's probably a lot different now. But, and I've probably told Bo this story before. There was a time where, like, 25 rookies piled into one room. And we all got our credit, they printed off our credit report for us. And for, like, 95% of the people in there had never had a credit report print or even looked at it. You want to talk about a sobering reality when five or six of the rookies out of a room of 25 start realizing that their credit had been utilized when they were young? Like, when they start looking at it going, why is my credit score 420? And you realize that when you were 10 years old, there was a line of credit pulled out in your name?
No.
Yeah, dude. Like, that happened. Like, there was a number of people of the Falcons rookie class when I was there that were like, wait a minute. I've never seen this before. What is this? A credit report? Wait, why did I have a credit card when I was 9?
Oh, no.
And then they start piecing it together like, oh, man, this ain't good. Mom and dad took a line of credit and bad situation, man. Yeah, so that's... It's unfortunate. But, yes, they do that. Like, there is a Falcons universe. They don't just drop you in and, you know, cold-hearted and expect you to come to terms with everything going on. They try to teach you a little bit. It's not like how to merge into traffic, though.
Right.
Which is, there is a lot of merit to that, I think. I mean, like, I think everybody else would probably appreciate that in town.
Especially in Atlanta.
You know what?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, why are we just focusing on Falcon rookies? Let's just bring everybody who moves here. You know what I mean? Like, everybody who moves in the Atlanta metro area is like, dude, at least a one-hour online class.
When you change your tag, yeah. It's a required class.
Teach everybody the zipper technique on the interstates when there's construction. Anyways, yeah, we'll get there at a certain point. I do want to break into this Falcons conversation because I think it's very, very interesting. We had a number of media members, obviously, in Flowery Branch yesterday that spoke to the assistant coaches for the Atlanta Falcons. And Bo and I have done this, and Bo does a great job. And he's kind of taught me this along the way. As I've taught Bo a little bit of football, he's also taught me some of the tricks of the trade in the media of, like, how to understand reading between the lines, people saying things that without saying things. Arthur Smith was a master at saying things without saying things. So I want to make sure we get into this cut and talk about what some of these assistant coaches were trying to say yesterday. I'm going to start off with Barrett Rude. Obviously, him being a linebackers coach, I thought his first comments were kind of eye-opening. He talks about, hey, we got to be careful with Jalen. We don't want to disrupt everybody else.
It's almost, you really have to be careful with a guy like him because he is so versatile and he's done so many things that it's cool to see. But at the same time, the more he moves around, it also changes what other people are doing as well. So we obviously love the versatility of his game, and he's going to move around at some point, I'm sure. But it's also important to us to give him a home base to start out with, because that's a big theme, I think, really, for our whole defense is, man, putting how many techniques can you put on repeat and get really good at it. So we want him to be able to do some of that same stuff.
And, Bo, before I get your input on that, because I think that is extremely interesting, I do want to back that up with one more cut. And it's like everybody's kind of wondering. You know, Jalen Walker kind of falls in the Falcons' lap, right? You're like, man, we didn't necessarily have to have an off-ball linebacker, but in a given situation, yes, Jalen Walker, that's great. You already also signed Divine Diablo. I thought Barrett Rood's comments about Divine Diablo shine a little bit of light.
Extremely high-end athlete. He's long. He's fast. Really comfortable playing in space. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to benefit a ton from being put on repeat, being able to, you know, really hone in on certain techniques and doing them over and over again. But really excited about what he brings to the table, especially as far as just the ability to play in space and cover a lot of ground for us.
Bo, look, I'm not saying one thing or the other, but from what I'm listening to, it sounds like these roles will be extremely well-defined in the beginning. You know, that they've already talked about expecting Jalen Walker to be a pass rusher. Obviously, that's what James Pierce does, but Jalen Walker fills so many roles. But then you talk about Divine Diablo, and I think his comment about, you know, he's gonna really benefit from repetition, you know, from repeatedly doing the same thing over and over again. You start to kind of get an understanding of, like, this guy will be tasked with this, and this guy will be tasked with that. What were your thoughts on just those two cuts, Bo?
Well, the Jalen Walker stuff is interesting, because the more you do with him, the more everyone else moves, is basically what Barrett said.
And precisely.
And it makes a lot of sense, because now you're putting, okay, well, this is normally something that your position would handle, but because Jalen does it better, we're going to slide him over here, and now we're going to slide you over there. And I think you just don't want to you're not just overloading one person. You're overloading everyone. And don't forget, whatever you guys think, well, it's Ra's defense that Jeff is coming here to run, Ulbrich, I should say. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's Ulbrich's version of the defense that all these guys kind of have taken from, you know, I think Barry talked about Monty Kiffin is one of the bases of this defense. And so it's simplification. You've got a lot of young players in a new system. You know, remember, it's Pierce, it's Diablo, and it's Jalen Walker. Those three guys haven't been with Raheem Morris before. They haven't been with Ulbrich before. This is all new for them. So you want to simplify everything, because the one thing that we always hear is the most complicated defenses always almost do the opposite of what you want it to do, because when you overcomplicate things, guys are now thinking and they're not playing instinctually. They're not doing what they do best, which is using natural instincts and their athletic ability. But I kind of like it too. And I also got the feeling from those cuts that, yeah, Divine Diablo is going to have this certain role that's very carved out, whether it be third down linebacker or what, and yep. It's all the time. But James Pierce also has one job. And among other things, his main job is going to be going and getting the guy with the ball, which is something you and I have said. These guys are finishers, okay? That is why they are here. They have made a living in their college game, and Walker and Pierce, as being guys that finish plays. They hunt you down with their athletic ability and their natural instinct for the game, and they finish. And that is what they want to keep them doing.
You know, when Divine Diablo was signed here, you and I, you know, dove straight into the tape. It's like, all right, what do we know about this guy? And obviously it comes out, hey, this guy was a safety at Virginia Tech. He transitioned to a linebacker role. The more we watched him, didn't love him as like an off-ball blitzer or walked up and, you know, the odd fronts with the three-down linemen. And I think that's kind of what Barrett Rood is pointing to a little bit. But I'm with you. I think very much he will be tasked with dropping into coverage and then also covering sideline to sideline. I don't think that they expect him to blitz up the middle and, you know, put a spin move on a running back and get into the backfield. To me, what Barrett Rood is saying simply is, hey, I look at Divine Diablo as a guy who can be athletic in space, can track down ball carriers, and can make open field tackles. And obviously, that is exactly what the Falcons have needed. I do also want to get one more cut here. Jaquie Smith yesterday talking about Jalen Walker and, you know, what he wants him to fine-tune.
I mean, I think the reason we're bringing him in our room is obviously to master one thing, and obviously the master is to get after the passer, get after the quarterback. I think that's one of the main things, and obviously we want to hone in on that skill set. And just him being able to learn the little small details that go in the pass rush, I think will be great for him, and so that's one of the things that we're going to focus in on.
Ooh, and the congregation said hallelujah. Let's go. Dude, that's music to my ears, guys. And on the heels of him talking about Divine Diablo having a carved out role and Jalen Walker obviously being to hone in on things. And then you hear Jaquie Smith say, hey, look, we really want him to master the pass rush. It sounds to me, and we've talked about the opportunities here, when you look at Divine Diablo playing off the ball, and obviously you already have Caden Ellis, you have Troy Anderson that should be getting back to health, you have JD Bertrand who had a decent rookie year for a fifth rounder. Now we start talking about just straight up unleashing the athleticism, Bo, of a guy like Jalen Walker.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do with Walker and Pierce, I think. I mean, that's all fine, but what happens when you get in the meat of the season and there is, you know, there's depth because you've got a few players that have gone down. Now you can move Jalen Walker a little bit, right? That's why you went and got James Pierce as well. I think the biggest thing that we're – you know, everybody's talking about all this risk they took and everything else. I just see it as they went out and got guys that fit what they want to do, that are athletic, and that were in college, made a living for making plays. And that is what James Pierce and Jalen Walker is. That's what they are. That is 100% the description of them. Athletic guys that can go make plays and finish. That's why I still don't understand criticism from certain people. I just don't. I mean, You got what on paper was the third best player defensively in the draft. Jalen Walker was the third best player behind Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter. And when it all plays out, he could have the best career. He absolutely could.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I think that I'm just so excited when you hear the focus coming out of the laser focus. And it's not simply I don't know. I love listening to these cuts and knowing these guys will have a defined role, because that's what you need as a rookie. And we just talked about it. We joked with Allie about having these classes of, like, these guys need to learn how to merge. Like, there's so much going on for these guys that, like, having a defined role of, like, look, man, I understand what you can do. You're great in coverage. Trust you in the flat, whatever else. Like, we can play off the ball. You'll build into that. But straight up right now, just get to the dude standing in the pocket.
Yeah, their entire world has just been completely shaken up. Yeah. So to have those defined roles, those boundaries, like, that's great.
Yeah, and hopefully their credit report looked okay. So we'll have to check in with that at another point. We do have to go to break, man. Look, we're going to get in the huddle next. There is one football player that is retiring. One of the more unfortunate stories that has come out of the last couple of years. We also got to talk about rail heights. Unfortunately, the situation in Pittsburgh yesterday that was terrifying for a lot of people. We'll talk about that on the other side as well. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Johnson, Allie Mack, Squid Billy, Dylon, hanging out with you guys. Appreciate you taking us on the ride into work, or if you're already at work and you got us on the Odyssey app, thank you so much for hanging out with us. That Odyssey app, man, you guys got a lot of fun stuff to go back and listen to this week. It's been a fun week. Obviously, Allie hanging out with us, entering the fray that is the morning shift. Did you have a good morning this morning? Because yesterday you were like, you know, I'll get used to the wake-up time.
You know, this is the schedule I most prefer. I'm having a great time. I did say earlier today that I haven't explained it to me like I'm 5 years old, because driving in today, when I come into the parking deck here at Colony Square,
yeah,
why do my windows fog up immediately?
Dude,
and what do I do?
It happened to me this morning as well. And first of all, I guess your air conditioner is probably rolling.
Yes.
And you get into that steamy parking deck, man. And I don't know what the answer to that is.
It never fails.
And I'm very
thankful.
Can't
see anything.
Yes, and that's why I'm so thankful we get here so early, because I'm like, okay, I'm going to wait.
Yes.
I am staying right here until this clears up.
Throwing on the windshield wipers and the defrost immediately, hitting it from both sides.
Same. Some days I've even had to, like, pre-plan. I'm like, all right, I already know it's about to fog up like crazy. Let me go ahead and throw the defrost on real quick.
I don't think there's a five-year-old way of explaining that. There's no, like, explain it like I'm five with that one. I have no idea. Same thing. I thought the same thing going this morning. I was like, man, it's that time of year. Because it doesn't happen during the winter, I don't think. Like, it just, I don't know. It's just a certain thing when it starts to get steamy and all that hot air settles in the parking deck, yeah, it'll. You got to check out, you know, the cones and everything else in there, because you're like, dude, I'm about to take something out.
It's very
like, I can't
startling.
See anything. Can't see anything. Fun show so far. We talked earlier that last night I put both the kids to bed, and you know, I'm just putting my nomination in for spouse of the year. Told my wife, hey, you just take some time for you. You know what I mean? Take some time for you. And then she promptly left and went to play Mahjong, which is evidently a card game that I don't have any clue how to play. So that broke into a conversation about the best card games. That'll be part of the wake-up call today if you guys want to call us at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock. We'll talk about card games that you play with your friends, with your family that you really enjoy. So many of them out there. Like, so many good card games.
I Googled, and it's between 1,000 and 10,000 existing card games that you can play with a standard deck. That's insane.
Wait, hang on. You said it's between 1,000 and 10,000?
Yeah, they don't know
like,
how many.
Like, that's like the,
there's so
like,
many.
What a range. Somewhere between 1 and 100,000. You know, like, what? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows what it means, but it's provocative. And also, we'll talk about Jeff Ulbrich in the wake-up call. Did Jeff Ulbrich deserve the fine? Did the Falcons deserve the fine? Is it only one of the two that deserve the fine? Because I'm in the middle on that, I think. We'll talk about that more, obviously, throughout the show. I do want to look, and we are a very upbeat and happy show. There was a scary moment, though, yesterday at PNC Park in Pittsburgh that I wanted to talk about, because I do, as a taller gentleman, as what some would define as possibly top heavy, I do have a fear of shorter rails. And yesterday there was a fan at PNC Park that was seated in right field that fell 21 feet. He is in critical condition. Just terrifying. I know that a lot of people have seen the videos that are circulating on social media. I am not going to repost it, because if you want it, you can go look at it. And it's just terrifying to see him fall that far. But I don't know if you guys saw the video or not. Everything is just scary. They tended to him on the field for 5 minutes. They put him on a back brace and got him off the field. But, dude, like, watching that happen just brought up so many old emotions that I've had throughout my life of just a terrifying fear of small rails.
It's one of those nightmares that comes to life right in front of your eyes. I mean, I remember being at the Georgia Dome years ago at Monster Jam, and I took my nieces and nephews.
Love Monster
and
Jam.
And my little niece, Evelyn, she couldn't have been 3 at the time, and she was swinging on one of the rails, and I was like, dude. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
Yeah, it's terrifying. And unfortunately, it's happened here in Atlanta a couple of times. I know it happened at Turner Field. There was a gentleman that went over the rail. So just terrifying stuff. And look, that's everybody talks about being tall. I'm always like, dude, there is some downside to being tall. It definitely is, because I get terrified of situations like that. And Bo, I don't know if you saw the video yesterday, but the look on some of the guys' faces and the managers from both teams, obviously they're alerting the umpires that something's happened. But it's like I think it was a McCutcheon double at the time. And, you know, just scary stuff.
I didn't see it happen. I saw the aftermath. I read a report that's not confirmed of a guy that claims he was there. And it's just like one of those deals where I don't know what is real and what's not. So I'm not going to go and give someone credit for a report that's probably false. But it did seem the man was intoxicated by some accounts
sure.
from people that were there. And it was just a freak accident.
Yeah. And the video you watch, like, online, like, it looks like he's, like, I don't know if he's celebrating or was trying to, like, stand on the wall or whatever else.
The guy that was there claims that, like, he basically just jumped out of his seat in celebration.
Yeah.
And he had already taken his shirt off and everything. And so it made it seem like, you know, it was just, again, a freak accident of enjoying the game while enjoying yourself too much.
Yeah. Got to be careful out there, man. And obviously, there will be people that look into the rails and everything else at PNC Park, and there should be. Like, we've talked about netting and other things. I know that, you know, there's.
You're going to put netting in the outfield, though? I mean,
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how.
But we can only do. Look, you can't protect people from themselves.
I agree with you. The netting thing I'm talking about is when somebody died from a foul ball,
is different. I agree.
Well, and then you put net up, you know, because not everybody's paying attention these days. A lot of, I think, almost all the major league teams are putting net all the way down, you know, the fair territory seats, or foul territory seats. I'm sorry, up and down the first and third base line. I don't know what the answer is. My point being is that I think there will be an investigation to see how can we keep this from happening again, and I think there probably should be. You know,
overserve people.
Okay, it happened at Turner Field. It happened at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's happened at Texas. Like, Are all of them intoxicated? Because you seem very
convinced
that they all were.
Well, pretty much. I mean, I think most every one of these ends up with someone enjoying themselves too much.
Okay.
And
well, if we can keep it from happening again by, you know, just looking into it, I think that's probably a good option.
Well, I would say this. How did we make it this long as a species if we every time one little thing happens, we start – overreacting to them and making a new rule to keep it because it happened once.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I think it's very unfortunate, and I'm not trying to be insensitive,
what do you just want us to go back on? Like, maybe we should just still put cocaine in our medicine, too.
Oh,
like, you know
goodness.
What I mean? Like, let's just learn a lesson. Like, what's wrong with that?
I think we know the lesson, but we refuse to acknowledge that, and then we want to find a rule to prevent
it. Anyhow. User error continues to roll on. Dallin, let's hit in the huddle. Some more unfortunate news. Jordan Travis, you remember him? He's the former Florida State quarterback. He was drafted by the New York Jets, and they drafted him thinking, you know what, this guy will fight back and he'll get fully healthy. He was an immensely talented player in his time at Florida State. Unfortunately, yesterday he put out a statement that says he is retiring because his leg has not, gone through the rehab process and gotten back to where he wanted it to. He basically says, on November 18th, 2023, my life and career took an unexpected turn. Gave everything I had to the rehab process, but despite my efforts, my leg never responded the way we hoped. Bo, the talent this guy had, I know you're familiar with, being a Florida fan, it was immense. And the sky was the limit for him in terms of being a quarterback. I don't know how the NIL and all that stuff matches up, but this is a guy who could have done a lot of good things in the NFL.
I remember watching that game. We were at an MGA party, and the game was on the TV, and I look up and saw it. And I felt awful for the guy. It was one of those guys that did everything the right way in college, seemingly. Stuck it out, one place, all that kind of stuff. I saw a hateful tweet yesterday about this and was like, all because Mike Norvell's offense couldn't run the football. Cost Jordan Travis. I'm like, that's
what are
not we
talking
about? I don't know about blaming Mike Norvell for this, but it sucks, man.
Yeah, it definitely does. It's one of those things that's so unfortunate when you look at what he could have been in the NFL. And seems like he's an okay spirit, but obviously tough situation to go through. Real quick, Drake London gets the fifth-year option picked up. I don't think that's shocking to anyone. We understand what Drake London is. We understand what Drake London isn't. It sounds like everybody in Flowery Branch, Bo, immensely happy that he is going to be part of this team for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and I don't think he ever sees that fifth year. I think he plays on a new. I think it's an. I think he plays on that.
I agree.
Under that, but I think it's a part of an extension because what makes sense now is let him sometime middle of this year extend him, and he plays under a smaller number next year, but the same number, and then in 27, the new contract hits. Right.
Yeah.
That's what kind of makes sense. This was a no-brainer. He's been a phenomenal teammate to those guys in the locker room. He's been a phenomenal guy to wear the brand, the logo, the Falcon logo, and represent the city. And he's been great on the field, too. And he's done a lot of it without consistent quarterback play in any part of his career. Mariota. Then he had Desmond Ridder, who was it? And then he had the Kirk Cousins debacle last year. So he's absolutely been a phenomenal player without consistent play getting him the ball.
Yeah, real quick, want to hit this Abdul Carter story. Abdul Carter, it came out yesterday that he also got prank called when the number two pick was on the clock. He said him and his agent both realized immediately that it was a prank call, so they never even told the family that he got a phone call. But I thought this backs up, guys. Mike Garafolo put out a tweet yesterday about how Shadur, when he got picked by Cleveland, it was actually FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's probably the smart role to. I think everybody's FaceTiming next year.
Moving forward, that makes sense to do FaceTime.
Yeah, I think that's a very easy way to kind of combat some of the issues they've been having over the last couple years. Although I'll be honest. I don't know that I would know every single GM or person if they called me. I'd be like, oh, which one is it?
Probably not. But the point was, you could look them in the eye and say, hey, you come to our team. And that's great.
Good point. Great point. Got to roll on here on the morning shift, man. So much fun so far. Appreciate you guys hanging out. We'll touch back on the Atlanta Braves when we come back. Chris Sale just can't buy a win right now. A lot of streaks coming in for the Colorado Rockies yesterday. And also, if you're a frequent flyer or somebody that utilizes the Atlanta airport, Boy, I've got a good option for you coming around. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Braves will tie it. RBI for Michael Harris. 1-1 here at the top of the third.
Dylan gets my ear and goes, coming back with a highlight. Well, that was it. That's all we got. Oh. Unfortunately, that was the highlight. That was the Atlanta Braves highlight from the game yesterday, man.
It was either that or Chris Sale's strikeout.
Yeah, there you go.
Strikeout might have actually been better.
He obviously was very good yesterday, so we want to make sure we highlight Chris Sale. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 9-0 on the game. Welcome back in. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us on your ride into work. I will talk in just a second during Mic'd Up about your possibilities for other ride options, which should be a lot of fun. Thank you guys so much for the tweets and messages we've been getting all throughout the show. At 929 Morning Shift, if you want to hit us up, we'll get a wake-up call coming up at the top of the hour. Allie, our wake-up call topics are...
We're going to talk about your go-to card game.
Yes.
We're going to talk about whether the fines for Jeff Ulbrich and the Falcons were fair. And then we're also going to talk about what you are doing to be the spouse of the year.
Yeah, correct. And look, and you know what? I don't want to exclude Dylan from this. If it's the boyfriend or girlfriend of the year,
that
it
works.
Is what it is. I'm sure Dylan's got something cooking that you know, that he's had going on here recently. But
what I do every day, my everyday consistency makes me boyfriend of the year every single year.
Whoa.
Just putting that out there.
Whoa.
It's my everyday consistency. It's my effort that I put forward each day. So it's just all the things I do every day. It's
I
my
feel like Bo's answer is probably the same. Like Bo's like, yeah, I just, you know, I'm me every day, and it is what it is, and I'm feeling good about it.
I'm a lunch pail boyfriend. I come, I do my job, and I do have my days where I show up and show out, and you know have you know go above myself, but I'm just consistent.
All right. What do you think, Bo? You got anything cooking?
I don't have anything after the garbage I just heard. I'm speechless. So I mean,
garbage.
Yeah, I mean, I was always taught that you know try to be nice and not say things that are hateful. So I'm just gonna keep it here.
Yeah. So make sure you get with us on the wake up call. That'll be 404-726-09. That'll come up at the top of the hour. We do, and unfortunately, I laughed when Dylan was like, "I'm coming back with a highlight," and it's that. Like that was the highlight. That was it yesterday. I mentioned it before. The gentleman that did hit the tie-breaking home run yesterday was 0 for 20 going to that at bat. Brenton Doyle is the guy's name. 0 for 20 going to that. The Rockies on a skid of just monumental skid in terms of what they had going on in their last few games. They won their fifth game of the season yesterday. They moved to 5-25 at the hands of Chris Sale. But, Bo, Chris Sale was – he wasn't the issue. I do have a couple of issues yesterday, but Chris Sale wasn't the one.
No, Chris Sale pitched great. I mean, 10 strikes is his best performance all year. I mean, it should have been. It was the worst team they've played all year. So you'd like to think he actually came with a good performance. But the lineup was a little bit so-so, too. A lot of people were angry. I don't think a lot of people understand baseball these days. A lot of Braves fans run their mouths about how much they know on Twitter, but they don't really know anything. Not understanding that Sean Murphy didn't start yesterday because the Braves organization is notorious. They don't do day-night games. If you catch a night game, you're not catching a day game the next day. That's why Sean Murphy sat. Now, why Sean Murphy didn't get a chance to come in and maybe pinch hit, and a guy who's hit you know a good bit of home runs, I don't understand that. You know, giving Verdugo the day off for Rosario.
That's what got me, dude. That one, I hated that one. I hated that one.
And I don't know why, and I'm not saying I like it at all, but they have treated Verdugo this way. This is the second time they've done this with Verdugo where – they gave him a day off on a day where the next day they had a day off as well. So he's getting back-to-back days off. I don't know necessarily why they're doing that.
Yeah.
But that is something that they've done. This is twice now, and you know it's okay. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
You know, in the pushback I saw yesterday, because I had a problem with Rosario being in the lineup, Verdugo not being in the lineup, and the pushback I saw yesterday was like, well, you signed him. He's got to get at bat somehow. Like, does he? Why is that a thing? Like, why does Eddie Rosario need to take at bats away from Verdugo and whoever else? We talked about it yesterday. Ronald Acuna should be decently close to coming back, and then all of a sudden you're dealing with a little bit of a surplus in the outfield. Right, so why do we got to force Eddie Rosario? And he comes up three times yesterday, two weak dribblers in the infield and a four-pitch strikeout. Like, it was I was like, okay, I've seen enough. All right, you know, that was cool. Let's get him back out of the lineup. And that's just frustrating to me, man, because it's one of those things. It's like it feels like at times, and look, I wear it on my chest, man. I've spent a lot of time this year calling out Brian Snicker for some of the decisions. But it just feels like at times that we do things just to do things. If you're Brian Snicker, like we're just, hey, yeah, we got to get at bats ready, Rosario. Why? Why does he need at bats, dude?
I didn't see it that way. I saw it as that for one, they want it's about Verdugo having a day off. See, it don't have a damn thing to do with Eddie Rosario getting at bats. It's about that because they did it before Eddie Rosario ever came to this team this time. So for whatever reason, they are trying to keep Verdugo, I guess, fresh or kind of what I don't know 100%, but this is the second time they've given back-to-back days off where he gets a day off before a day off for the entire team. So for whatever reason, that's their plan with him. I don't think it has anything to do with Rosario. I think if Kelnick would have been here, they'd have done it with Kelnick too. That's just something that they've been trying to do. I just don't understand why, because I think Verdugo, if all goes well, could get a lot of days off starting in July.
Well, that's my point.
So, but it's not about Rosario getting at bats, though. It's just about giving Verdugo days off.
Yeah, well, it obviously comes at the detriment of the Atlanta offense when we've loved what Verdugo has brought to the table. Let's focus back in on Chris Sale for just 1 second. And just talk about the fact that this guy was obviously on the hook for the loss yesterday. It was interesting, though, when I look up and I see six innings pitched and it says longest stint of the year. And I'm like, wow. Like, have we not – we're just now getting to the point where he pitched six innings yesterday. I thought that was a big kind of monumental thing for him.
Sure. But the best part about all of this is he's now put together back-to-back best starts of the year. Because before – this one, he did the one in Arizona where he labored a little bit, but he was pretty freaking good. Gave you five innings. He got you through it. You know, him and Zach Gallen kind of went toe-to-toe in the opening of the stand in Arizona. And I thought he was pretty good. That's a better lineup than what we saw yesterday. And that he got some jams against them. So, to me, it's about he's kind of seemingly honing in and getting some consistency, which you really need – from the reigning Cy Young winner, guy that's supposed to be the best pitcher on the team. Now you hope that Holmes and Schwellenbach can do similar things to start the weekend against the Dodgers on Friday.
Well, in the moment I was a little disappointed in yesterday was in the ninth inning. We've been giving Ozzy Albies a hard time this week talking on the show that he hasn't been getting on base. He's been striking out or hitting grounders. And yesterday he got on base, right?
Yes.
So it's 2-1. He's on base, and then Eli White comes up, two outs, and I'm like, wait, this could be Eli's moment.
Here it is.
Yeah, and it just did not pan out. But that could have been such a great moment for him.
Yeah, it
definitely
could.
You only get one day game-winning home run, I guess, from Eli White a season, and they already had that, Alex.
Braves legend
But
Eli
I thought
White.
The same thing. You know what what bothered me about it? I didn't like his at-bat.
Yeah.
It felt like he walked up there with an 0-2 count to start the at-bat almost. It just didn't feel almost like there was urgency in the at-bat, and a weak fly ball to right field is not, it's just at least put a charge in one.
And I will say this too, because, he's at one of these spots in the lineup. I saw this stat that they posted yesterday, and they do such a nice job with stats on the FanDuel Sports Network. They put up the image yesterday of the Braves 7, 8, and 9 hitters in the last five games. Insane, right? Here's what the stats are. Last five games, Braves, bottom of the order, hitting .373, 9 extra base hits, 16 RBIs, and 13 runs scored in the last five games. That is a complete hat tip to guys like Eli White and whoever else you want to throw into those roles, Nick Allen. It's been nice, man, and those guys have definitely been a big piece of the turnaround. You look at the big boppers in the middle, and they've definitely turned it around, but those guys at the bottom are starting to play their role really well as well. So it's going to be nice to have that squad back home this weekend.
But see, give that credit to that's Eli White. And I know we just kind of ripped him, but that's Eli White. That's Alex Verdugo, because what Verdugo has done has allowed you to move Michael Harris down into that role.
That's a good
right?
point. Yeah, that's a good point.
And so that's getting guys back, and that's guys doing their job, and that's where that's where the credit to me is due.
Yeah. So, like I said, they'll be moving on to face the Dodgers this weekend. You'll get Grant Holmes tomorrow night. That'll be nice to get those guys back in town. The Rockies, wish you could have swept them. They're on track to be the worst team in Major League Baseball history. Like, seriously. But nonetheless, man, good to get the Braves back in the house after being hot here recently. Let's go ahead and hit a Mic'd Up. Today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Or maybe you get them on Uber Eats. I want to bring up this story. Allie brought this to my attention yesterday. I think this is something that I would definitely see myself utilizing if I was a traveler coming into Atlanta or I live downtown or in Midtown.
Okay.
Obviously, things are a little bit different. I MARTA to the airport because I live in North Sandy Springs, and there's a North Springs MARTA station.
That
so
makes
it's just
sense.
Very, very easy to hop on. Uber Shuttle has announced their launch that'll be coming very, very soon down in Hartsfield, Jackson. If you're not familiar with this, it's essentially what they do. They have like a 12-passenger van, and every 30 minutes they are driving to downtown and to Midtown. You can also book up to 5 seats in advance. It, like, there's a lot to talk about here, and you know, there's a lot of options. You can, you know, you can bring one personal item, which is hilarious, one piece of luggage weighing up to 50 pounds. They've put those kind of things on it. It says during the promotional period where this thing starts, one-way prices are just $10, and after that, they'll go up to all the way up to $18.50, but it'll be capped at $18.50. Guys, I'm curious to get y'all's take on this. If I was a traveler and one of those people, like I said, that use the airport a lot, I was coming into town, or if I was one of the people that lived in downtown or Midtown, I hope that they eventually stretch this out to Buckhead and some other places, but count me in as a guy that's going to hop on a 12-passenger van. I don't think there's any doubt.
It is so smart. I mean, whatever stress you can alleviate trying to get to the airport these days is just gold. And I think the airport's probably going to be very excited about this as well because they've had so much traffic with the ride shares to get a whole shuttle going. That just makes so much sense.
Yeah, I'm good. I'll pass. I don't want to ride a shuttle. It'll be like public transit once it gets going. I'm good. I'd rather just get my own Uber. I'll go stand in the line and not have to ride with other people.
Yeah, you're going to pay a lot of money to Uber from the airport. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the parking rates have started to go up.
Oh, I noticed it.
Dude, it's
so much.
Insane. So, yeah, like I said, count me in as part of this, Dylan.
Now, if I'm going to my apartment, if my apartment is my final destination, then this doesn't work for me because I'm going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
So, but there are times, because I've done this before, where if I have to go to the airport right after I finish my duties here,
yes,
I will most definitely be using that because being capped, even at $18.50, that's not a bad rate at all.
And I guess, you know, when you really think through it, it's probably a better thing for people that are, like I said, that don't live here because you're going to stay downtown. You're going to hit the conference center. You're going to stay in Midtown. There's all the offices right around where we work. But, dude, I just, like I said, I'm matching up what the parking prices are right now. I don't mind riding a 12-passenger van. I'll put the AirPods in and listen to a book on tape or something, or read to my girlfriend like Dylan does. So we'll see what happens.
I just don't think this is. I just don't think it's going to be comfortable. I would just rather pay a little bit more and get the Uber. Not to mention it for me, it doesn't even matter because
unless you're coming to work after like a Falcons game or something, maybe.
But those Uber prices are going to go way up. They want to push you to the shuttle, so you're going to be paying a lot.
It's also probably easier to find the shuttle.
Yeah, but once it all regulates and more people are using that, the Uber prices will come back down. So.
Yeah. Also, reminder, this hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We have the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. Was the Olbrich/Falcons fine? Was it okay? Are you all right with it? I mean, it's $250K to the Atlanta Falcons, $100K to Jeff Olbrich. Or is it somewhere in the middle? One of them deserved it, one of them didn't. I think that's where I'm probably sitting. Also, what are you doing to be spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend of the year? And your favorite card game? Let us know. Maybe there's one. I haven't even heard of it. Maybe it's something really cool we haven't even heard of yet. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.